Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you've missed, we are so glad that you're connecting with God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com.
Amen. Would you please stand with me as we read God's word together? We're in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we've been marching through the book of Acts. We've done the first three chapters. We're in chapter 4 today. We won't read the entire chapter. We're going to start at verse 23. I will read the first. You will follow, Lord, in the next verses all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 37. Hear the word of the Lord, Acts 4, 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders said. Verse 24.
When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them.
You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through the ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? Verse 26.
The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah.
In fact, this happened here in this very city, for Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. Verse 28.
But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will.
And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Verse 30.
Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Verse 32.
All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had.
The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Verse 34.
There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them
and bring the money to the apostles to give those in need. Verse 36.
For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus.
I'm assuming that the scripts ended. Verse 37. Lori, you're beautiful, but I loved all of their voices. Verse 37, he sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, you can have a seat. Well, before I preach this morning, I wanted to give you another opportunity. We have a conference coming up September the 18th, Next Level Leadership Conference. Now, who is this for? It is for you guys. It's going to be an entire day, September the 18th, on a Saturday. I want you to come out and I want you to be here for that conference. We live in turbulent times. This conference is purposeful to help you be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's going to be incredible speakers. There's going to be an opportunity. It's going to be a filled day that will give you everything you need. You can go to MyKCC app, the website, and you can get an early bird price right now to sign up. Don't let money be an issue. If you don't have the money for the day conference, see me. I want you here to be a part of it. This is for KCC, so put that on your calendar. I say that because it's not just my desire to inspire you, to challenge you, to encourage you, but also to be able to put tools in your toolbox so you can actually live your faith out on a day-to-day basis. This conference that we're doing for an entire day, bringing in speakers, etc., is exactly for you. So we're going to be hearing about that over the next months, but we want to give you a heads up for those of you who say, I want to do that. I really want to endorse that. KCC, please put that on your calendar, September the 18th. It's going to be an incredible day. Amen? Well, we are moving forward through the book of Acts. I've entitled, as the little video shared, The Unstoppable Force, the Church. Let me just say this quickly. I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it again. I love the church. I love the church. Why do I love the church? Because Jesus loves the church. Jesus says we are his bride and he loves us. Would somebody say, I love the church? Say it again, I love the church. Well, even if you don't, it's nice to hear it. And we're marching through the chapters. We looked at chapter one. We looked at the ascension of Jesus going up to the Father's right-hand side and all that meant. And then in chapter two, we looked at the descending of the Holy Spirit and filling up all of the believers, and the church was birthed. And then last week, chapter three, we looked at the miracle of Peter and his preaching and asked you, do you need a miracle? Now, lots of good things were happening, were they not, in those first three chapters at the beginning of the church. Chapter four brings us to reality. And the reality is this: Satan will not step or sit by and wait while God is doing something amazing. Whenever there's an amazing movement of God, the enemy is always after us. Always has, always will be. Acts 4 was the first example of that in the early church. But ever since then, he's been at it. His number one goal and his objective is simple: to stop the gospel from going forward. And he'll do whatever he can to stop the gospel of Jesus from moving forward. Does this make sense, buddy? Having said that, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the God of this age has veiled the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot understand the truth. He's been at that. John 10:10 says he only came, the devil, to kill and destroy. He shows his true colors. John 8 says he is the father of what? All lies. Lies is his native tongue. And he's throwing lies at you, and he's throwing lies at me. Revelation chapter 12 says his goal is to deceive the entire world. Acts chapter 4 shows us that he is after one thing: stop the gospel from moving forward. And if you stop the gospel, the way you do it is what? Stop the church. Get the church sideways. Get the church disunified. We live in a day and age where the church is more disunified than it has ever been before. We argue over the stupidest things in the long picture of things. But I say to you today as a church, we will always be gospel-centered. If you're new to KCC today, we are unashamed to be a Jesus-lifting up church, a Bible-centered church, knowing that this is the truth of Jesus. If that doesn't get somebody excited, I don't know what will, right? He disunifies us by getting us self-centered. It's all about me. It's about my needs. People are leaving the church all over America because this church wears a mask. This church doesn't wear a mask. Are you serious? We're going to leave this church because this politics or that politics. We're going to leave a church because of this issue or that issue. The enemy is saying, I'm going to keep them disunified. I'm going to get them off of themselves and make it all about them. Let me remind you something very clear from Scripture. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battle's against rulers and principalities of the air. So know where your battle is at. The other way he gets at us is what I would call mission drift. Do everything else but the gospel. Do everything else but the gospel. And at the end of the day, we need to know what our mission is. Church, you better help me. It is to what? To know him and to make him known. Let's try that again for those of you who are new. This is the mission of the church. Say it. To know him and to make him known. That's what we are all about. That's what we will always be. He comes after the church in broken relationships. Somebody offended me. Somebody said something that I didn't like. And now I'm going to harbor it in my heart. And I'm not going back to that church because of this person or that person. Let me just say this. Every spiritual stronghold where we open up the door of our life to the enemy, the vast majority of those strongholds are as a result of people not forgiving. And you need to understand these are the tactics of the enemy. Today I want to give you three truths from chapter four. As we know that God's church is unstoppable because of Jesus, and we know that he is going to help us finish the mission, but we can learn from this chapter. And I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to, and if you have them here, keep them open. We're going to show you these truths. The first truths are in verses 1 to 22 that I did not read. And that first truth is simply this. Opposition is God's opportunity. Opposition is God's opportunity. Somebody repeat after me. Say, do it, Lord. One more time. Do it, Lord. Now, what do we see happening here? You got your Bibles open. Verses 2 and 3. What do we see happening there? Peter and John are arrested. Good things are happening. The religious leaders go, wait a minute, here's a threat. Let's arrest them. Let's intimidate them. Let's keep them from doing this. What were they arrested for? If you're there in 2 and 3, they were arrested for preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. Do you know that was the first arrest of the early church? But what you need to understand is that the arrest and the persecutions have been happening ever since that moment, just not in our country. Brothers and sisters, since that day, have been arrested, persecuted, and killed from that day to this day for the same reason, preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. And they should be a little bit concerned. The opposition is now coming after them. Because if you look at verse 4, if you're there, 5,000 men have already said yes to Jesus. Back then, they didn't count women and children. So the reality is, we've got between 10 and 20,000 new believers in Jesus. We've got a mega church of all mega churches with the very first church. It's a movement of God that cannot be stopped. And the enemy's like, I'm gonna shut this down quick and I'm gonna go furious at it. Let's not be afraid of the opposition. Every movement of God, which we're experiencing right here at KCC, every movement of God will always be opposed. And the enemy will come at us. And for those of us who've been in the game long enough, we are not naive to it. But we know greater is he who is in us. We know that all things are possible through Christ. We know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We know these things to be true. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. I don't know if you're out there or not, but I'm getting a little bit excited, and maybe somebody will get a little excited with me. Can I get an amen? Because I believe in the exact moment that we need, he will give us the perspective. In the exact moment that we need it, he will give us the wisdom that we need. In the exact moment that we need it, he will give us the courage that we need it. When you even don't think you're a person of courage, he'll give you exactly the courageous moment that you need. We must take advantage of the opposition, knowing that it is God's finest hour. When we can't, he can. Did you hear me? I'll say it again. When I cannot, when Mick Veach cannot, that's the moment that Jesus can. Can I get an amen? It's when he is glorified. Now we look at this. In verse 8, you see that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't back off. He's arrested. And what does he do? If you were arrested for preaching the gospel and you're in the middle of this moment, would you shut up? Would you be quiet? Not Peter. Look at verse 8. He's filled with the boldness of the Holy Spirit. He just keeps on preaching. He's like, you already got me. I've got a new audience. So I'm going to preach to them. Right? I'm going to preach to them. And then he boldly proclaims one of the most powerful verses in New Testament, Acts 4:12. And he makes a declaration, and he's not ashamed of it. And he says this, there is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. He makes it clear and concise. There's only one name by which we can find salvation, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Right in the middle of his arrest, he makes that broad and that bold proclamation, knowing who he belongs to, knowing who has called him, and he is powerful. Knowing at that moment, and I'm like, wow, that is amazing. That's a cuss word in today's world. Today, if you say that Jesus is the only way, you're a bigot. If you say that Jesus is the only way, you're a neo-colonist. If you say that Jesus is the only way, you get all the other adjectives described to you. But I'm here to tell you, I love all people. We don't have to agree to still be friends. You can still be loved and tell me you don't believe in Jesus. But that isn't going to stop me from the truth in which I know has changed my life since 1982. Does this resonate with anybody else here today? And if you look at the middle of this moment with opposition, look at verse 13. And it's crazy. Here he is under the heat, and he's arrested, and he preaches verse 12, and then all of a sudden something supernatural happens. And I'll paraphrase verse 13. They looked at him, and they realized he wasn't a trained speaker. He wasn't a religious leader. He was a fisherman. He was an ordinary man. And yet they noticed that he had been with Jesus. Question, as you go through your day, as you go through your week, are the people noticing whether you have been with Jesus? Do they know and do they see? Because here's what I know to be true. They may not know who Jesus is. They may not know the name of Jesus, but there's something happening inside of us when we're connected to Jesus. And it's the glory of God upon our person. In the Old Testament, it's called the Shekinah glory of God that is on us. And the way we react, the way we respond, the way we live our life, all of a sudden to the world, they look at us and say, what's that all about? That's what was happening right here. The opposition was coming in, and Peter stands up and allows it to be an opportunity in the middle of opposition. Most of us start running when we're in the middle of this. And then that powerful statement in verse 19, they said, should we obey men rather than God? Anybody know the answer to that? Because it may be coming in the end days. Not may be coming, it will be coming. And if you live long enough and I live long enough, it will reach our shores here in the United States. And you will have to make that choice. Will you obey man or will you obey God? You with me? Some of us, if you're a thinking person, you'll be automatically saying, wait a minute, Pastor. At first look there, there seems to be a contradiction of Scripture. Because the authorities over them said, stop preaching. And they said, we must obey God. Well, what about Romans chapter 13? Where it says, God gave you authorities and rulers over you who you must obey. Didn't Jesus say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's? Absolutely. We are to obey government officials that we don't even like. Is that a shocker for you people who love politics? We are supposed to obey those individuals, Romans 13, but to a point. And as soon as they cross over the line about preaching the gospel, meeting together, worshiping, must I obey you or God? I don't know about you, but at that moment, I choose God. Anybody with me? I remember when my wife and I went overseas and we were traveling through the country telling our story about we were going to a restrictive country where it is illegal to preach the gospel of Jesus. And people would come up to us, not many, but a few would come up to us and say, we disagree with what you're doing. Romans 13 says you can't go to another country and break the rules of those authorities. I went back to Acts 4:20-19 that I just said, and so must I obey man or must I obey God? And that's the way that we have lived our lives, knowing that we obey him above all else. Does this make sense? And we see here in this moment, the key point of this truth is this. When opposition stands against you, allow God to stand for you. I don't usually come up with good statements, but that's a good one. When opposition stands against you, God stands for you. Can somebody say, God stands for me? One more time, God stands for me. Now, if you've seen God stand for you, can you give me a glory wave? Anybody out there, come on. Yeah, a few people are getting excited, all right? You've seen God stand up for you. Anybody got a testimony on that today? God has stood up for me. I am convinced of Romans 8, if God is for me, who can be against me? All right, if I'm by myself in that moment, Jesus is faithful to the very end, amen? And we see in Acts chapter 4, in these first 22 verses, that the opposition was there, but it was God's opportunity. Let's go to point number 2, verses 23 to 31, and that is this. The believers engaged God. They got out of prison, and they engaged God. Can somebody say, engage Jesus? Say it again, engage Jesus. If you've still got your Bibles open, look at verse 23 and 24. And as soon, it says, immediately, or as soon as they were freed, they engaged God together with the believers. They didn't engage God by themselves. They engaged God together. Did you hear me? Together. COVID has pushed our culture to an extreme where we don't believe, honestly, that we need each other. The early church shows us and the persecuted church today shows us, the only way we will stand is together. You with me? And I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times to those of you online, you are loved. I am grateful for the technology. I am grateful we can reach into your homes or wherever you are at online. But it is never intended to be a substitution for worship live and in person, because you understand that together we grow together. They engage God not by themselves, not in their, on their couch by themselves, but together with people that they don't know and look different than them. Some who worship like this and others who worship like this. Some who will shout and others who will be quiet. We learn from the diversity of one another. Does this make sense? It's a beautiful thing. So they engaged God together, but how did they do it? By prayer. They prayed to God. They didn't just say, I want to engage God. They literally did it together in prayer. It's been my desire here at this church that we would make that a highlight of who we are. This past Friday, every fourth Friday, I call you out, come and pray with us. This past Friday, these two middle sections were almost full, and the Holy Spirit fell yet again. For those who are here know what I'm talking about. We were doing truth number two. We were engaging God together in prayer. And God's Spirit showed up, and we walked away as the ones who were changed. We don't know what happened in the heavenly realm. Only God knows that. But we were coming to him and saying, you must do this. I believe we are at a day and age where we need the power of God like we have never needed the power of God before. Does anybody agree with what I'm saying here today? If you look, keep going on in the scripture. If you look down to verse 25, when they did pray together, they prayed scripture in context with scripture. This is really important, isn't it? Because if we pray things that are not in line with the Bible, those prayers will not be answered, because we've got to pray truth. And if you don't know what truth is, you got to get to scripture and you see that they're praying right through the history of the Bible in relationship with God, knowing that God changes me when I actually pray. So I'm asking us to engage exactly like that. What did they pray besides scripture? Here's the key. Go to verse 29 and 30. Did they pray for protection? Did they pray for deliverance? No. Look at them, verse 20. They didn't pray for that. Can we pray for deliverance? Can we pray for protection? Absolutely. Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, right? But the early church in chapter 4 didn't pray for deliverance. In verse 29, they prayed for what? Boldness. Bring it on. Bring the opposition on. Give us what we need, God, but bring it on. They're praying for boldness for what reason? To preach the gospel of Jesus. Are you following something here? They understood what it was all about. And then what we see in verse 30, look at verse 30 here. What they prayed for is they prayed that God's hand would be stretched out. Stretched out. God would stretch his arm out, and what would he do? He would heal, bring his mighty power of healing and miraculous signs and wonders. How many of us today need God to reach his hand out and touch us? How many of us feel like that's the cry of my heart, verse 30. Oh God, just like they prayed at the beginning of the church, extend your hand to me. Bring your healing power on me. Bring your miraculous miracles for us. Does this make sense to anybody? And so they understood in that day, and the same is true for today. They were preaching the gospel with their word, right? But they had to demonstrate it with power. People wouldn't believe it, even though they declared it. But then when they saw the power of God, when God's hand was stretched out, then they went, wait a minute. Even the fiercest doubter would say, this, I just saw with my own eyes the miracle of God. This must be true. I think that principle is also applicable today. Today, we need the exact same declaration and demonstration of God. We don't need more powerful communicators. We don't need some other fancy church. We don't need some incredible artist. What we need is the power of God to be demonstrated, that nobody could walk away without saying, that's God. Does this make sense? That's God doing being God. It's supernatural. I know we can't explain it, but God is above us. And I'm saying to you today that he wants to stretch his arm out. He wants to bring his healing power. I've been thinking about the rain over the last little bit. I've been praying for Detroit, which we came from, is underwater right now. And as I thought and watched all of the rain fall, I'm reminded of the old song, Lord, bring your healing rain. Bring your healing rain upon us. Let's step out into the healing rain. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I want to experience everything you have for me. I don't want to live vicariously through somebody else's miracle. I don't want to hear of somebody else's story. I want my own experience with you. I step out. Bring your healing power in my life. Bring your healing rain. May it fall upon me. Is this the cry of anybody else's heart in the place this morning? We need that in our lives. This is what the early church prayed, and we see. In a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to close our service quite differently, so don't check out on me. We are actually going to pray these two verses at the end of our service, 29 and 30. What was the result of their prayer as they engaged God? Look at verse 31. The result of their place was, something crazy happened. Verse 31, the place was shaken. Was that new? The place was literally shaken like an earthquake. Can you imagine being in this building if it started to shake? We either know it's God, or God now allows earthquakes in Michigan, one or the other. And I'm not a geologist. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. That wasn't new. In the Old Testament, whenever the presence of God descended, you had a shaking. You had sort of an earthquake, whether it was on Mount Sinai or wherever, when the presence of God fell. And what did Moses say? I cannot see God and live. Isaiah said, I can't stand in the presence of the Lord. Daniel fell as though he were dead in the presence of God. But what we see Jesus do in Matthew 27, do you remember when he was on the cross? And when he said, it is finished, what happened? The earth shook. And in that moment, Jesus took all of our divine punishment on himself. And in that moment, we saw the mighty move of God. And he said, now you have access to God right here and right now. And verse 31 says, there was something supernatural happened. And then when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, after they prayed, the place was shaken. And what does it say in verse 31? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, Mick. Didn't they get filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2? Yes. But as I said that week, I don't know about you, but I leak. It's not a one and done. I have to keep asking him to control my mind and my heart and my emotions and say, you have control. Take my eyes every single day. It heightens. He's already living in me, but it heightens what I already know to be true. So I know that God is powerful. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, now I'm able to do it. I know that God is love, but when I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, it becomes real. I know that I have the hope of heaven, but when the Holy Spirit comes in me, all of a sudden, heaven is a reality in my life. Does this make sense? And that's what we see happen exactly here, is that they were able to experience this Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 31, again, they spoke boldly the gospel of Jesus with conviction, without fear. They engaged God in prayer, and they were changed. The key point is this. Our greatest weapon engaging God is prayer. Is prayer. Point number one we see in the early church. Opposition was God's opportunity. The second thing we see is that they engage God together in prayer. And the result of that is the third truth. And this is the hardest of all. The shaking, that's okay. But the third point is the most difficult. You ready? Believers engaged one another. They engaged one another, verses 32 to 37. Can somebody say, let's love one another? One more time, let's love one another. Look at verse 32. All the believers, after this prayer, after the place was shaken, and after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it said this, they were one mind and one purpose. Disunity was gone. The anger was gone. The argument was gone. They were one purpose. One mission, one experience. They had experienced it, and it was a supernatural thing. When you look at the size of the people in this room, it would be impossible for us to experience that outside the work of the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't take too long for us to sit down over coffee and find out all the differences that we have with one another, would it not? But when the Holy Spirit comes down and we get focused on what matters, all of a sudden we then engage one another. The result of that we see is this. I'll summarize. They started to care for each other. People read verses 32 to 37 and say, wait a minute, I don't like that because that's communism. I'm like, that is not what that verse is saying at all. The difference between verses 32 to 37 and communism, and I lived in a former communistic country, so I know a little bit about it. Communism, you don't have a choice. You don't have any ownership. You don't have any private ownership. But these believers had more confidence and they understood something that's very hard for us to understand in America, and that is this: nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. Americans, we were taught this: I earned it, I worked for it, I deserve it, it's mine. My response to that question, that statement is this: who gave you the breath to breathe? Who gave you the talent to work? Who gave you the country to live in? Who can take it away? Everything you have is a gift from God. Doesn't mean that you didn't work hard, but God gave you that opportunity, gave you that skill. Is that not true? And so they were more brave in who God was than fearful of their future. And because they were engaging God, and because they were praying together, they gave of themselves, and here's the crazy thing, there was no need in their midst. They cared for one another. They sold what they had and made it possible. It's a crazy principle, isn't it? But if I were to say this, for example, if I were to say to you that a week from today, July the 4th, Jesus is coming back. And we all know that could happen, right? Do we know that could happen, yes or no? But if I told you Jesus was coming back, and I wouldn't say that because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. So if I did say that, you need to run out of this sanctuary as fast as your feet will carry you. Hallelujah. But if I did say that, and it were true, would that change the way you lived your life today? Would it change how you spend your time? Would it change how you spend your money? Would it change how you engage other people? You getting where I'm at? The early church, they believed that Jesus could come back any moment. So therefore, they lived that way. But we don't live that way. We're waiting for the next good thing, the next thing about us. And I'm saying to you today that the opposition is becoming more apparent in our country. And as a result, we're going to have to start taking the principles from the early church and start living that way so the church will survive to bring back the coming of Jesus. Does this make sense to anybody? If we are going to demonstrate to the world and be the hands and feet of Jesus, we've got to proclaim the word of God, but we've got to show it in our lives. Because if you look at verse 33, they proclaimed together. Wasn't one preacher on a stage. They all proclaimed together. Now look at verse 33, and what does it say? As a result, they were blessed. They were blessed. Okay, I'm gonna put my prophetic hat on for a moment. I am convinced that the vast majority, and I can be critiqued for this, and that's okay. I believe that we are in a crisis in America today, that churches, for whatever reason, have lost the blessing of God. And here's even worse, they don't even know it. That the blessing of God has left, that his anointing has gone. They've gone through their services week in and week out, and it wouldn't matter whether the Holy Spirit showed up or he didn't, they wouldn't know any different. They sleep through the sermons, and they're so boring, it's as bad as going to a class in school. Because the blessing of God is not there. As I've said before, I'll say it again, they had the blessing of God because they did what was right. There's only two things I fear. One is God, and the other is that I would do something that would cause his blessing to leave my life, or to cause his blessing to leave the church in which I lead. You don't have to be the most talented. I'm not here to woo and wow you. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to try to show you that I'm more black than white or more white than black. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and may his spirit and his blessing fall, and whoever walks in these doors, even though they don't understand it, even though they don't understand all the details, they'll say, I want some of that. So we see that their caring for one another was normative. Is caring for your brother and sister and even people who don't know Christ normative in your life? should be. It should be who we are as believers. Very generous in what we do. It's my goal as a church that we're not just multi-ethnic. That's easier than what I'm telling you right now. It's much more difficult to be multi-economic. When I say open up the doors and all people are welcome, let me illustrate it this way. Many of you have been on a mission trip to a third world country, and you have loved and fallen in love with the people that you've engaged with in that country, and most of them are people with no resource, agreed? And you love them, and I believe that. But when it's different when you have people in one church who have resource and people who don't have resource. And it's not only for 10 days, but it's every day. And you sit together in worship, and you who have resource have to sit beside somebody who doesn't have resource, and you have to live in that tension. And I can only tell you it's only the Holy Spirit that will guide you. Will you be played? Will you be conned? You bet your life there will be moments. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter when you follow Jesus, you can't be so worried about taking advantage of, or you will never care for one another. You will never care for people. Jesus knew he was being taken advantage of. Jesus knew people were gonna mess him over. The disciples knew that. I'm not saying go out and get busted up. I'm just saying it's a part of the experience. Does this make sense to anybody? So when we open up the door and we continue to say everybody is welcome here, you can belong before you become. You can belong before you become. You can come as you are. With all of your stuff, you are welcome here. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that you do, but you are loved and you are welcome here. Does anybody else in this church believe that? Key point is we need each other if we're going to finish the mission that Jesus gave us. We need each other. Before I close, let me just make this statement. What we can do together is much greater than what we can do by ourselves. What we can do together is much greater than we can ever do by ourselves. That's why I've said to those of you online, we need you. We need you to be engaged with us. We can't do it by ourselves. I learn from you. You learn from me. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. Does this make sense to anybody? Opposition is an opportunity. The early church got it. As a result, they engaged God together in prayer and they watched God show up. And as a result, they were able to engage one another and actually love one another and care for one another. That's a miracle in and of itself, is it not? May this be true of KCC. May this be true of us. Right here and right now, however old we are, 41, 42 years old, we celebrate all the past. But in 2021, may we be a church that is known, that will stand up against opposition, engage God together, and engage one another together, and welcoming all people in the name of Jesus, and allowing the gospel to be the center of who we are. If you believe that today, would somebody tell me that by saying amen or putting your hands together? Oh God, I'm asking right now that you would help and lead and guide because I can't and I won't, and so you will. Amen. Look up this way. I want the team to come on out. We are going to close a service like I have never closed a service before, but as I pray, here's what I've prayed. I have prayed that I would not close a service just because that's the way you're supposed to close a service. That I wouldn't do church simply because that's the way we always do church. Is this okay? That we would allow God to be God the way God needs to be God. So as I was praying for our close of our service, this is where I need everybody to be engaged. Hopefully will be engaged in one way or the other. But I said we are going to pray for chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. But I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. And I'm going to ask you in a moment for some people to get up out of their seats and stand with me. And we are going to pray just like the disciples prayed. Is that okay? We're going to pray just like the disciples did. And we're going to let God be God in that moment. We're going to pray that we would be bold, verse 29, to preach the gospel. And then in verse 30, we're going to pray that God would stretch his arm out. Does this scare somebody? And that his mighty power would be revealed to us. I don't know what that is. I don't know what people need, but that we would see his mighty power, what the Bible says. I'm hungry for that. Am I the only one in the room that's hungry for the power of God to be displayed? And that people could be freed and delivered, and fear could be destroyed, and we could be unified as we engage God. We're gonna need it. We're gonna need it. The first 3 weeks, we came forward. Week one, and 25 people came forward and they made decisions for Jesus. Week two, hundreds of you came forward and said, "Fill me, Holy Spirit." Last week, many of you came forward and said, "I need a miracle." Today's a little different. We're not praying for me. Today we are praying for us. We're praying for the church. And the church needs a fresh wind and a fresh power of God's presence. Does this make sense to anybody? Would you please stand with me if you are able? Now have your way, Holy Spirit. I'm gonna pray in a moment what I just said. But I wonder, in the balconies and down here up front and in the galleries, is there anybody that what I just preached, it resonates with you and you want the exact same thing and you're willing to come? Anybody willing to come and pray with me these verses? I want you to come and stand. Is there anybody? Come now. Come on, church. We are coming forward and saying we need this. This is for everybody, whoever feels it. I'll give you a moment. Get in close so there's enough room for everybody. I'll give you a moment. We'll have to do going down the aisles, coming down here on the sides. Still giving moments for people who are coming from the top. Come closer. We got people that still need to get in. Just get closer. This is overwhelming to me. I got to be honest. Because first and foremost, I know for a lot of our cultures, we don't do this. It's not what we do. It's not the way we engage God. But I think that we have to throw all that stuff away. I presented the Bible to you, not mixed version. You with me? And I've been saying, KCC it's got her flaws. She has her flaws. She has her issues. But she has an amazing group of people. And we've got about 1,000 people that went somewhere. I have no idea where they went. No idea where they're at. But I'm not going to worry about that. God's told me not to worry about that. Doesn't mean I don't care for them. Doesn't mean I want them not to be engaged. But I can't force anybody to do anything, nor do I want to. I said, "Lord, you give us the people who truly are serious and have a heart after you." Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we've got it all together. It means we come as we are, scars and bruises and messed up, but we come together. And then we corporately together pray that he would do something fresh and new in our lives and in our hearts. Not somewhere else. Not at another time. Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? That's the cry of my heart. Is that your cry today? Yeah? So here's what I want to do. Whether you're standing out or whether you're here, I'm going to make you feel really uncomfortable. Because again, for many of this is not what you do. You have people standing around you. I'm not just going to pray. I'm going to ask you to start praying with people around you. You don't have to talk to them. Just look at each other and then bow your heads. And somebody that feels comfortable to pray, start praying. Is that okay, church? I'm just to lead you to the cross. If you can't pray with each other, I guarantee you're never going to pray out there. And even if you don't feel comfortable praying, you just stand there in silence and let somebody pray. Pray that we, number one, be bold with the gospel of Jesus, verse 29. And then number two, pray verse 30, that his hand would be stretched out and we would see his mighty healing power and his miraculous signs. Are you with me? Go ahead, start praying. Whether you're out there, you can pray out in your chairs or here. This is our time to pray. Go ahead, church. Start praying in Jesus' name. Go ahead, pray in Jesus' name. Hear our cry, O Lord. Hallelujah. Cry out to the Lord right now. Hear us, O Lord. We worship you, O God. Hear us, O Lord. Give us boldness. Forgive us of our sins. Empower us. Strengthen us. Give us perspective. Give us wisdom, O God. Call out to him, folks. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Cry out to him. The days demand it. We need a fresh wind and a fresh power. Stretch out your arm, O God. Stretch out your arm. Send your mighty power and your healing in Jesus' name. Send out your power and your healing in Jesus' name. Hear us, O God. We cry out. We cry out today. Hallelujah. He's hearing you, church. The Spirit is hearing you. He is working. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. We celebrate you today. We're grateful for you today. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spirit is here. I'm going to pray for us. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're willing to give us more than we could ever ask for. Thank you that you are Father, that's Abba, Daddy, who loves us dearly. We celebrate you today. We celebrate that you are a God that is generous. You are a generous God, and you desire for your people, your children, to give us what we need to love you and to love the world. We confess that we cannot, but you can. We confess that we're fearful, but you're courageous. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would now give us the ability to have boldness this very week. Give us boldness to live out the gospel. Give us boldness to preach the gospel in Jesus' name. Enable that to be the case for us, oh God. Hear our cry today. Give us that boldness. And oh God, we pray right here and right now that you would extend your hand down upon us. Extend your mighty healing power upon us right now. Go ahead and ask for it, church. Ask him to send his healing hand upon us. Ask him to extend his hand upon us in Jesus' name. Call it out. May we experience that power upon us in Jesus' name, that they would experience your movement. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Open it up and say, take my mind, my heart, my body, everything about me. Take my life right now. Celebrate that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we celebrate it. What you're doing and how you're doing it. We celebrate you. Somebody put their hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning.